This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
What an arm in the arm that music is. It gets me going every time I hear it. I was never, I sang opera, but I wasn't really a fan of opera, believe it or not. And that tune from Carmen is just wonderful. Welcome to Spouting Off, show number 119. If you're counting, that means we've done 119 shows of Spouting Off, and we're just getting started. We have a wonderful show for you today. In the second segment, we're going to have the mom who's had it. Ellen Graham is going to join us and tell us something about why she's had it and what she's working on. She is an outspoken, very talented speaker, so we'll hear from her. And then we'll have Denny Dillard, who's a writer and an internationally distinguished security and law enforcement expert, pro-cop, which nowadays, unfortunately, is rather rare, I venture to say, but I was getting distracted there for a moment. I have a lot to say in this first segment, and when I always have a lot to say, don't I? I always do. But I was trying to think, in 15 minutes until our guest comes on, what can I say of any consequence when there is so darn much going on and people are certainly pontificating about it? What truly does concern me is, well, a lot is concerning me right now, and that is that we are facing all the things the left claimed that we were doing. And everybody has talked about projection, but remember when they talked about cultural appropriation and people were going, what the heck does that mean? They're wonderful at coming up with new terms and new ideologies that they just hoist upon us. Before this phenomenally crisis-induced 2020 for the election began, they were giving us new words constantly. They were giving us many, many new genders and telling us we had to accept it. They were telling us that gender was fluid. We didn't even know. Gender fluidity? What are you talking about? And they also talked about cultural appropriation, that you can't wear somebody else's garb because you're appropriating their culture, as if to say that they are more respectful of other people's culture than we are. I bet you know where I'm going with this. So, well, 5 minutes ago in news time, they've been accusing us of cultural appropriation. You know, we went after the indigenous people because they can't stand Columbus. So we gotta have Indigenous Peoples Day. They are going about appropriating and completely trying to destroy our culture. We never, ever talk about that because, unfortunately, they've been doing a wonderfully good job at bullying and intimidation. They're trying to occupy parts of our country. We found out how well that happened when, finally, after 3 weeks and several murders, Seattle finally decided to do their job and protect citizens that sent them there to do their job. As I remember, they probably took an oath to the Constitution, but they have not haven't been abiding by that oath, as have the great majority of Democrats who've been taken over by the hard left in this country. They'd like to call those who disagree with them radicals, but just like racist, 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 they are the radicals. They are the racists. David Horowitz said that one of the best things he ever said to me when I was interviewing him, and I've interviewed him a few times. I said, so what do we do with these people that are calling us racist for everything? And that was even before this year, when it is completely gone insane. We see that they are hell-bent on calling anybody that disagrees with them racist, because that's the excuse on which they intend to overthrow America and turn it into a socialist communist hellhole. And I'm going to keep on saying that because, frankly, there aren't enough talk radio hosts that I hear saying it. They're just mincing around the edges. Tucker Carlson is probably among the most effective. So what do we do about it? Our country is under attack from within. And in the minutes that I have left, how do you say anything in 15 minutes that you think might do some good? To say nothing of the fact that the Democrats never conceded the election of 2016, but they refuse, I'm telling you, they refuse to begin the election of 2020. Are you wondering where the election is? You know, it's not like any other day, but they're hoping to ride coronavirus and rioting and pillaging and burning and looting and keeping people in their homes and forcing them to wear masks. This otherworldly twilight zone, they're planning on running this all the way to the election. Why? Because they have an embarrassing candidate. They have no ideas, and they have supported this insurrection. Something very, very dangerous. Now, there's only one way I can see to really fight back, and that's what I want to talk about, is fighting back. This weekend is Independence Day, the 4th of July. The 4th of July, the biggest, most important holiday in America. No doubt the America haters hate it, which is certainly why Democrats went out of their way to shut down bars, shut down saloons, ramp up the fear on coronavirus, which is totally unfounded because the deaths are down. The incidences and the cases are up because they're desperate to test. There's false positives and they have tons of testing. So now what do we hear again and again and again? Who believes this stuff? Unfortunately, a lot of people believe it. Now they're saying we have a giant surge in cases, right? Suddenly they don't talk about the deaths from this virus because it's really not that deadly to the great majority of people. It's probably less deadly than the flu, for which they completely ignored in the past, wasn't even a blip on the radar. So what can we do to fight back? Number one, we got to organize. And if that means in spirit, then that's what it means. If it means on social media, then hell yeah. But we have to organize because that's what they don't want us to do. And that leads me to what I think is our best weapon against this attack on America. I'm truncating this because I have wonderful guests, and I want to talk a little bit about these issues with them as well. But I always like to talk about, what do we do about it? What can we do about it? We can just keep analyzing it to death, or we can say, what are we going to do to fix this and to hold on to our country? Our country is being attacked by people that hate us and hate everything America stands for. We have seen that Black Lives Matter and Antifa are trained Marxists. Their job, they have told us, is to get rid of Donald Trump and to usher in socialism / communism. As Trevor Loudon says, the only difference between those two is about 5 years. Now, if they have now graduated to the point of bullying and intimidation in this country, anybody who dares to disagree, they're bullying and intimidating people to wear masks. They wouldn't care if you wore a white lace mask on your face, as long as you obey, as long as you comply, as long as you concede, as long as you bow down, they don't care. So we must do exactly what they don't want us to do. And that is a tall order for a law-abiding ideology like conservatives. Conservatives are law-abiding people. Do you think the left cares about following the law? Hell no, they don't. Now, I am not for 1 minute advocating the kind of lawlessness that they're doing. I'm advocating holding fast to our Constitution, standing up proud, unapologetically for America, unapologetically for the moral, suddenly just lost the word, the moral imperative of liberty. Liberty is a moral imperative. You can't have happiness without it. You really can't. And as you know, I've said before, God gave us free will. We should never expect less from our government. And when we finally get clear that we must stand up, we must resist. Remember they were talking about resist, resist. No, we are the ones that need to resist their racism. We need to resist their cultural appropriation. We need to resist their communism. Because if we don't, there will not be an America for your kids. I have a four-legged furry kid, but I want him to have an America too. I want everyone to have an America that I had the privilege and honor to have, and I hope to live to see a time when we have put down this insurrection on the greatest experiment in the history of the world, self-government. And here, speaking out to us, we've had to wait a little bit for Winston Churchill to tell us when we should give up. Go.
We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense.
I have about a minute. Too bad we didn't time that just ready for the commercial, because how can you improve on Winston Churchill in matters of conviction and good sense? We have the conviction that liberty is what works. Free markets are what works. Freedom is what works. So those things that these insurrectionists want to force upon us, it is time to stand up and say no, no, and hell no. I will not wear a mask that cuts off my oxygen and makes me have to breathe carbon dioxide when I know that it will not do anything. And this, and the way that Democrats are handling this virus, is indeed a hoax to keep us looking down at our feet, to keep us alienated from one another. We have about 15 seconds. When we come back, we're going to talk to Ellen Graham, the mom who's had it. I can't wait to talk to her and get her thoughts on some of this. You're listening to Spouting Off, and I'm your happy but very concerned host, Karen Cataline. Stay tuned. There's a lot more to come right after this.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at kstarradionetwork.com.
Well, everybody on this side of the microphone is excellent, terrific, and fabulous. We found out off the air, and I have been excited all week to talk to Ellen Graham, known on the internet and on social media as the mom who's had it. Welcome to Spouting Off, Ellen Graham.
Oh, Karen, thank you so much for having me. And can I just say, this is a surprise, but we have to dedicate this segment to our mutual friend and mensch. He knows who he is. And isn't it wonderful, all the terrific people that we know?
We do. And that is how you suddenly became a friend immediately as soon as you mentioned his name. Isn't that weird?
Absolutely.
You mentioned his name.
Is a friend of mine.
He really is a mensch. That's absolute. And he is, and we don't need to say his name because she and I both know who he is. And he's too busy to be listening to my show. He's a conscience for people. If I go a little too far, you know, I'm going to listen to what he has to say. I may disagree, but I respect him immeasurably. And I'm glad that he's a friend of yours as well. So
absolutely.
So Ellen, how did you get to be known as the mom who's had it? Everyone was dying to know.
You know, I think it goes back to there are a lot of us that I would say are part of the movement to make America great again that have gone through an awakening at some point in time over the last decade or less. And what really kind of surfaced for me was I needed to find like-minded friends. I live in a very liberal part of town. And as I met those friends, I got to know another radio host, Stephen Tubbs. So he's actually the one who dubbed me the mom who's had it, because when I would share my opinions and thoughts with him, he would just joke with me. He said, wow, you're the mom who's had it. But, you know, you think back, what are those caricatures of mom when she sort of had it with the nonsense and had it with this and that? She puts her foot down right and she makes things right. And I think when you talk about what do we need to do in this country right now, I have a passion for empowering moms, any of us, to stand up and use our voice right now.
Mm-hmm. Boy, is that ever true. And when you say that, the picture that I get in mind, Ellen, is sort of the opposite of that. Calgon, take me away.
Well,
let me have a bath.
There's a little bit of that too, but I will tell you, Karen, as a mom, where it's been really transformational for me is I think about the future of our country. I think about the type of sons I want to raise, and I refuse to go down without a fight. I will not fight for this country the way that my ancestors fought to give me the freedom that I have. And men and women have laid down their lives. We're fighting for our country, and we need to do that for all of our children, our grandchildren, for one another. That's who we are as Americans. That's the proof of who we are, not all this other identity politics BS that gets fed to us.
Yeah. So, Ellen, you know, since this is kind of a short interview this first time, but I'll have you back on again and we can talk some more. I want to drill down to more specifics. So because we want to jump right to the chase, and I don't know how much of my monologue you heard, but this country is under attack. We are at war. We are at a cultural war with people that want to destroy this country from within. What, in your opinion, since you've been very, very active politically, very active on social media, do you think is our very best weapon for fighting these people? Because they're virulent. They're not giving up.
Well, I think it's our voice. it is our refusal to submit. It is our refusal to play into the virtue signaling, the political correctness. At the end of the day, we're not going to lay down our arms. We're going to keep our Second Amendment, but don't lay down your voice either. It is time to speak truth. You can speak truth and still love your neighbor. I was having a great discussion with a friend that said, well, you know, I just feel like I need to be kind to everybody. And while there is a place for kindness, there is a place right now, there is a vacuum in our culture calling for truth and calling for what is real justice. And that is to defy these lies that are being told about who we are as a country, to stand up to Marxism. This is a very coordinated effort, years in the making, to bring communism to America, to destroy our constitutional government, to destroy our equal rights, our freedoms, all of those things. And we need to stand up to it in our, you know, we each sort of have our corner of the world, wherever that is. I've done a lot of standing up to the school system, which I will tell you is an ugly, bloody battle. I've raised kids in Denver Public Schools, which I think is a, where you look where they're institutionalizing the socialism for our kids, the hatred of our country, the hatred of our president. So we need to stand up in schools. We need to stand up in city government. We need to elect decent school boards. It all goes back to elections have results. And we need to come together and we need to be smarter and more strategic as conservatives, because that's what they're doing on the left. They have weaponized their collectivism, and they're using it.
Well they're put, Ellen.
They absolutely use it to drown us out. And I think that when we stand up and say no more, I don't care if I lose friends. I don't care if I get kicked out of my progressive church. That's a real thing happening for Christians right now. And you know, I'm a woman of faith. I don't care if I've got to maybe move my kids to private school, or maybe I need to make the sacrifice and run for school board. There's all kinds of things we can do. We need good men and women to stand up and fight. And this is our generation's war. Our World War II heroes went. They went with guns. They lost lives. They lost limbs. All these things happened. Our losses are social collateral, and we have to be willing to do that.
Well put. I want to go back to something you said, and because we are in the middle of it, we don't know where it's going to end. But the more we concede, the more we appease this kind of an enemy, the closer it comes to bloodshed. And we don't want that. I don't want to advocate that in any way. I advocate self-defense, but that's it. We cannot allow it to go that way. And the only way it'll go that way is if people continue to just roll over. I wanted to just mention something that you said about, you put it so well about that they want to turn this into a communist country. And my dear father, who has been gone many years now, he died in 1991, which is a long time ago. And he's the one that taught me about freedom and about limited government. And he didn't say much, but he was a very educated man. And he once said that a couple things. He said, "You don't know how lucky you are to live in this country." And at that time, I was very young and I didn't know. And further, he said he didn't think communists would ever take hold in America. And when I think about what we're facing right now, I think often at how heartbroken my father would be to watch what's going on in this country. It seems like it's from the Twilight Zone that all this is happening right now, but yet it has been coordinated, as you said. So I don't know if there's a question in there. But
well,
I
love your, you know, I love hearing about your background. I am similar in that I feel that my parents gave me the fundamentals of how our government is supposed to work, and they gave me an understanding that evil is real. communism is real. You can dress it up as you can dress it up as LGBTQ rights or BLM or whatever the flavor of social justice is for
the day. Or climate change.
Those and all those groups of people that genuinely care about those issues are totally being exploited. Totally being exploited by the real systemic injustice, which is trying to undo the fabric of this country and our constitution and subjugate us, subjugate our speech, our thought, and it is very, very real. It has become, if you do not, for example, if you do not denounce racism, you are racist, or you are just racist because of the color of your skin.
No, if you're white, you're an automatic racist. If you're somebody that disagrees with me, you're a racist. If I don't like you, you're a racist. And there's payback in a lot of this. We're going to do to you what we have been told you did to us. I posted a little meme on Facebook, because I do that, of a little tiny one-year-old girl. And it says, cute little face. And it says, blaming her for racism is like blaming, and they show a one-year-old Japanese girl blaming her for World War II. Is that really where we want to go? And yet that is exactly where they're going.
It's absurd. And it is also there's a movement to call that which is good, bad, to call that which is bad, good. And you see that in the toleration of the riots, the destruction of our culture right now, all in the name of protesting. Well, you and I both know that that's not what's happening. They're trying to destroy our history. They're trying to erase it and, again, to subjugate us. And we cannot let it happen. And I am ready for the patriots to come out of the woodwork and say, you know what? If you come to take down our Christopher Columbus statue, our Ulysses S. Grant statue, our Abraham Lincoln Monument, we will be standing guard.
I apologize. I have only 30 seconds, and I had so much more I wanted to talk to you about. I hate to interrupt. Terrible. You are proof positive that speaking and using your voice is incredibly powerful. They don't want us to. That's why they're shutting us down. Tell everybody how they can find you on the internet and on social media so that they can connect with the mom who's had it.
You can find me on Twitter and on my Facebook page, The Mom Who's Had It. And you know what? Do me a favor when you do that. Just use your voice. Use your voice somehow. Pray for our country. Speak up. Do the thing that you are empowered to do.
Thank you so much, Ellen Graham. You are a delight. I love your passion. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back with our next guest, Denny Dillard, and we're going to talk law enforcement. You're listening to Spouting Off here with Karen Cataline. Stay tuned. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. Don't you love it when you get something down the wrong pipe right before the mic comes on? Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline. I'm getting all choked up here. Our next guest is the logical progression of the conversation that we just had. Denny Dillard is an internationally distinguished security and law enforcement expert and senior program manager. He consults on numerous preparedness and prevention-related programs, drawing on 42 years' experience and expertise in security, law enforcement, and national security training, exercises, and program management. He's owner and president of the Dillard Group International, LLC. Welcome, Denny Dillard, to Spouting Off.
Thanks, Karen. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
It's great to be with you, too. So in the last segment, we talked a little bit about how we are fighting a cultural war, and we must use every one of our Bill of Rights to stand up and protect the Constitution. And your experience, and you were kind enough to tell me a perfect direction to go, because I could talk to you for 2 hours, but since we don't have 2 hours, let's zero in on this. Your experience in law enforcement, the unbelievable attack on law enforcement to leave us all helpless and unprotected against this virulent attack on our country, many people think that it could, God forbid, come to blows. We're already seeing violence in the streets. We're already seeing people being forced, like the McCluskeys, to stand up and brandish a weapon so they can make rioters and protesters, mostly rioters and people that are intimidating others, to go away. The dirty little secret is they did. They did go away in that case of the McCluskeys in St. Louis. So what's the progression to violence when people, we have to talk about this, and how can we prevent that from happening?
Sure. For, you know, when we look at something or that's causing that violence or that direction of violence, we obviously start out, okay, what is the motive behind why people are doing what they're doing? And so if you want to understand what the Marxism, socialism movement of groups like Black Lives Matter and that movement followed around and working with Antifa and others like Boogaloo that are jumping into the violence because they can, it all turns into this mix of riotous behavior that's violent crime, murdering, raping, robbing, burning down stores, all those things that we're all appalled at, right? It starts as an idea. And then it has grown from, like, Ferguson, Missouri. And typically, those ideas, even though they might start out as a good idea, as you're starting to see members that initially thought, okay, I can get behind Black Lives Matter, when they found out what that really means and that it isn't about race, that idea really isn't about race and that inequality or systemic racism against law enforcement, those lies spill over into those ideas. And then it very quickly moves into, okay, let's do things like burn it down, which the first time we heard about was in Ferguson when the police officer there did not get indicted by the grand jury. And the stepdad of Mr. I forget the young man's name that was unfortunately killed there that day, but grabbed the police officer's gun.
Michael Brown?
Michael Brown.
Or was
Michael
it
Michael Brown Jr. His stepdad said, burn it down. Right? He was inciting people to riot right from the get-go. And so I think that Black Lives Matter learned something, because when they rioted and burned down, guess what? Very few of them went to jail. The law enforcement agency got investigated by the federal government to try and shut them down for civil rights violations and on and on and on. Well, they have been preparing since that time for the event in the case, in this case, George Floyd. They were prepared all across the country to spill their ideology and use very kinetic warfare, in this case, in the form of riots, so-called peaceful protest. And it very quickly moved into very violent, a lot of violence across our city. Then they're taking control of certain parts of our city. They're tearing down statues and everything else. So think about it this way, Karen. It started with this idea of, for them, supposed to be protecting the Black community and giving them some equality there. But all of the people that started that organization are trained in Marxism, and we're seeing the hallmarks of what they're trying to do, and we're seeing the hallmarks that the Democrats, especially the far left, are supporting that, and the others are either saying nothing or just letting it happen. So we can't continue to say, okay, who's our enemy? We know who our enemy is right now.
And we most certainly do.
The question is, are we going to just talk about it? Everybody's saying, I've had enough. We're not going to let this happen. By golly, we're going to stand up. So part of that is, okay, we get on the internet. We try and get into classrooms. We try and talk about this on radio shows like this and say, I've had enough. What does it mean? Where do we go from here? But eventually,
and what do we do?
Right. Exactly. Right. So eventually what has to happen is either law enforcement is going to stand up to these people, as I believe President Trump is trying to do through the Department of Justice and the FBI, as he's named Antifa a domestic terrorist organization, and they're going after those guys and the obvious ones. What they're not doing just yet is saying, okay, Black Lives Matter and this Marxist approach to what they're doing that's inciting those riots, we're not going after that because politically it's just too hard for us to do that.
That's right.
Nobody wants
I noticed it when they named Antifa but refused to name Black Lives Matter, because that is a perfect example of bullying and intimidation. Now, Mike Pence, who's just the exact opposite of Donald Trump in style, was quite clear when he said, some people have said, do I believe black people's lives matter? Yes. Do I support the organization, which is anti-Semitic and Marxist and hates this country and wants to destroy it? No, I don't. And you have to say that because there's a lot of uneducated people in the world. You don't have to say it, but that's how you say it.
But for those of us that feel like we do not harbor any ill will toward any man, that all men are created equal, and endowed by their creator. You know, the very thing that Thomas Jefferson made sure was in the Declaration of Independence, that we all have those rights, right? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We don't feel like we've got to say that, but for people that maybe don't understand that, that's right. So you're right. Black lives matter. All lives matter. They all fit together. But that organization and that movement that organization started and all the money going into it, it absolutely is wrong.
It should be very clear to people that when you say all lives matter, and there's some woman who's working for Deloitte Touche who threatens on the internet to stab you if you say all lives matter, that that gives you a real clear picture of what they don't want to hear.
Absolutely. So
right?
Does the truth hurt, Karen?
Yeah. And my motto is tell it anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. So you say up front, this is what we stand for, and this is what we're going to do. And listen, we have a creed in this country going back to our founding under our Judeo-Christian values of what we stand for and what our traditions are. And they're trying to destroy all of that. You know,
all of it.
When you get a guy like our Attorney General, whom I think is a great man, and I'm glad he's in that position. When
Me
William
too.
Barr says, look, we got to get God back at the center of the conversation in the public square if we're to have any hope of any reconciliation. I believe that is true. I believe that is true. And so if we say, okay, there's this ideological war going on, is there a spiritual war going on? I believe that's true. But there absolutely is a physical, kinetic war going on down in the ground. And so until somebody can stand up to that and stop it and say enough, no more, they will keep doing it. And if they keep destroying law enforcement or putting so much political pressure through Democratic governors and mayors so that law enforcement is not allowed to do what they're trained to do, and I know because I've trained them from LAPD to the NYPD counterterrorism teams to Seattle and Portland and pretty much everything in between, I know what those guys know how to do and what they, but they're not being allowed to do it. So my question is, will other Americans, will us as citizens that are aware and have the ability to use self-defense to protect ourselves and others, including our country, will we stand in that gap for a while? Can we stand in that gap and say to these people, no, you're not coming here anymore? Now, Karen,
that's
you probably
what has to happen.
Wouldn't want to do that. You probably wouldn't want to do that, right? But I know there are guys like me, and I'm 6'4", 225 pounds, you know, and I'm trained to do this, and I train warriors. There are a lot of guys out there that would say, pick me, I'll go there, because I'm disciplined. I don't want to do anything that's illegal. I don't want to do anything that's immoral. I just want to say, stop. You're not burning our flag anymore. You're not tearing down the Lincoln Memorial. You're not going to go do this or that or the other thing that we know are illegal. And until we stop that violence and there's a deterrence up there with our law enforcement, it's going to continue. And they'll keep inching away, taking more and more away from us until one day we turn around and go, wait a minute, what happened? Well, all of a sudden we're a socialist or communist country.
What? Well, and that's exactly what they want. That's why they're going for the protectors among us. It makes it a lot clearer now why they were after the Second Amendment for so long. See, they didn't tell everybody about what they were really after, and those who kept saying what they really want is to take your guns. Well, you know, there's a reason that they want to go after the very people that will stop them. The Second Amendment will stop them. Law enforcement will stop them. The National Guard will stop them, and the military will stop them. And those are all the things they hate and can't stand. We have a couple minutes and with before this break, and I'm delighted that you can stay with us to the top of the hour. But let's get started with this, because I really want, if possible, we only have 1 minute, my producer tells me, before the break. So I'm going to pose the question, hopefully, and then we'll come back and discuss it. I always like to, I hope, bring something more than just discussion to a discussion. And that is, well, the discussion is always good. That's why I love doing talk radio. But if you can talk to, quote, our side, for the rest of our conversation, I want you to be able to talk to our side as to what you think is necessary for everyday people to do everything they can to stand up and protect our country. Are you game for that?
Absolutely.
I bet you are. Denny Dillard, what a blessing to have him with us on Spouting Off here. Karen Cataline. And stay tuned. We're going to have one more break, and then we'll dive into that question when we come back. Stay tuned. There'll be more right after this.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at KstarRadioNetwork.com.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. He sounds so enthusiastic to just say my name, that announcer. I don't know if we need to keep that. I get to be producer sometimes, too. We're talking to Denny Dillard with just an enormous amount of experience in law enforcement, public safety. And he started a company, an organization called Hold Fast America. couldn't be more relevant to what we're dealing with right now. Tell us about that group. And before the break, I posed a question to you to talk to good law-abiding citizens who love this country and do not want to live to see it brought down by communism.
Absolutely. Thanks, Karen, again, for having me on the show.
Listen, my pleasure.
Hold fast, America. We have said, look, we've got to hold fast to that which is right. And because I've been able to have the privilege of being a police officer and being in the federal government and working counterterrorism and working and training and protecting our military bases around the world, I know what happens to people when they become victims of crime. And typically what it is when we're being overrun, what led up to that. And so that is things like lack of knowledge and understanding. So right now, understanding what's happening is important, that all ideological piece that we talked to. So people gaining knowledge is important. Education is a huge piece of this all the way around. The other part is understanding that sometimes it's just the fact that people grow complacent or they're in denial that something's actually happening. And right now, some very real, tangible things are happening, and you've been able to see them over the last 4 or 5 weeks every night on your television set. Every night you see bad things happening, and it is a concerted effort under this Black Lives Matter organization and movement, okay, that is taking place. And we know that is Marxism and socialism. That is the driving factor. The other part is that people just get distracted, Karen. They're busy with their everyday lives. They're trying to work. They're trying to take care of their spouses and their family and their neighborhoods, going to church if they can. COVID-19, of course, slowed down an awful lot of this. But what they're not doing right now is seeing and making the connection between the dots that we have this huge threat looming right in front of us. It isn't the threat that happened in 9/11 coming from the outside. It's coming from the inside. Mm-hmm. They're tearing mm-hmm. us down from the inside. And so
Absolutely.
Getting smart about it is important.
And what's the most, let me just real quickly interject. What have you found in your own life is the most expedient way to wake people up? People who are open to it. I'm not talking about those that have already been ideologically co-opted, but what's the easiest, fastest way to wake people up? Because we don't have a lot of time.
Well, unfortunately, generally what happens is until somebody gets hit in the mouth, they don't wake up. Until they get into a car accident because they realize, well, I was distracted and looking at my cell phone or the kids arguing in the back seat and I ran into the car in front of me, they don't wake up. So unfortunately, that's the way it is. So if we can educate them because they're afraid, that's what a guy like me, I get told when people are afraid because either people have died like on 9/11 or they're afraid more people are going to die. That's when they call me. So flight attendants and pilots came and got me and said, Mr. Dillard, we're afraid to get back on the airplane. We're afraid we're going to get our throat slit. How do we deal with that? Can you help us? And, of course, the answer is yes, we will. And the same thing applies here. People are calling me and saying, how do we stop this? So we have to get people aware. We have to teach them how to put up a deterrence to what may happen. Like the McCluskeys, you were talking about the family in St. Louis that came out, stood in front of with arms. And it broke my heart that they had to do that because there's supposed to be guys like me in uniform standing there to protect them and not letting a mob go down the street. But
because they called them. Nobody came to their defense. Yeah, they called them.
They would get there as soon as they can. But when the bosses of those law enforcement agencies or even the National Guard, because it's the governor, are saying stand down, let them do what they want to do, it's a peaceful protest when we know it's not, then that's a political issue. So we have to change policy, and that's a separate discussion, but we have to get there. We have to get there. So the other point of it is, how do you just avoid this stuff from happening? Well, if you can't avoid it, because they've already said, this is what we're going to do, this is what we stand for, this is where we're going with this thing, and people are just sitting there with their mouths open saying, what do? Well, here's what you do. I will tell you, we teach 7 levels of how to protect yourself, your family, your church, your school, your neighborhood, 7 levels, and it starts out with prayer, guardian angels, and going in the strength of God. If you're spiritual, get on your knees and start praying. I can tell you, I believe that wholeheartedly is important. Maybe not everybody agrees with that, But we do as an organization and as a country, I believe in our Judeo-Christian values. So let's start praying. Let's do that. Secondly, get more aware. Let us teach you what's right, what makes sense. Let us teach you about the enemy, and let us teach you what you can do to take care of yourself and your neighborhood, because they're coming to our neighborhoods. We're seeing it. Did they go to Beverly Hills? Did they go to Santa Monica? Did
they go to
Silicon
Valley? They want
to. That place in St.
Louis? They do go to all those places. I mean, just as an aside, when the odd, crazy leftist mayor of Washington, of Seattle, when they went to her home and harassed her, that's when CHOP all finally got brought down, after they went to her house. So they don't really care about equal justice under the law. It's just like
what
you said.
I mean,
you know,
when I see somebody gets punched in the mouth, then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I want a police officer, and we're going to make sure that that stops, right?
Right.
And so unfortunately, oftentimes that is what it takes. So there is the spiritual side. There is that intellectual side that we have to address. And then, unfortunately, sometimes it gets to the point where it's got to be verbal, and it becomes very verbal. We're having that conversation. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have to engage with people in a discussion. They keep saying, we just want to be around the table and we want to talk about it.
No, they don't.
Is anybody having a conversation and talking about this?
No, they're not.
No,
and
where?
They don't accept differences of opinion. I'm writing all these seven things down. Okay, so you've got prayer.
And I'm happy to send them to you, Karen, as well.
Aware? What's the third one? Just because I think people really want to know this.
So the verbalization piece, that is kind of advising, warning, persuading, distracting. Okay, we teach police officers kind of that verbal judo, if you will. How do you de-escalate a situation if you can? And how do you have a conversation? So as a cop, I wanted to talk people to jail. I didn't want to have to fight them to jail all the time.
Of course.
But sometimes just then I had to say, okay, you know, and my partners kind of got out. I would say, sir, how are you doing today? I need you to step out of the car, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. They knew when I was polite like that, things were going well. If it escalated up to me saying, listen, buddy, I need you to calm down. I need to put your hands down and stop acting like this. If I got to, hey, pal, take a seat, now they knew I was getting serious. So that is an escalation and de-escalation of verbalization skills, and is a very simple analogy of that. But we teach this stuff so that you're understanding during that time how to read body language, facial expressions, and what people's intentions are and where this may go. And so after we get into the verbalization side, then we get into things like empty hand control, where you're trying to protect yourself against somebody without using a weapon, right? And that could be firm grip, or it could be takedown or pain compliance techniques. But understand that this is both, you know, ideological and physical in nature as we talk through this training. At each step of the way, there's education that's taking place, and it isn't just physical, okay? So we use the physical kind of as an example. Level five, you know, the escalation, people use things like the dreaded neck restraints, right? They talk about chokeholds, you know, and there's a difference between choking and cutting off somebody's wind or putting pressure on the carotid artery, and they just want to ban everything because they don't understand it. What they don't realize in the case of police officers is they're taking a tool that's much safer in many regards away from those officers when they're having to fight somebody that's unarmed. And so it then escalates for them having to use firearms or other weapons like a taser or a chemical irritant or something along those lines. And so that would be our level five. Level six are intermediate weapons. And that can be simple as, you know, a common object. If you're walking with an umbrella or a cane, you have a flashlight, and somebody is going to attack you, you know, you can defend yourself off that. But that's also physical self-defense techniques like kicks and punches, knees, elbow strikes, and various other things. Or a team takedown where you're working together. Mm. And then finally it gets up to that level seven, which
is obvious. There's only one left, deadly force.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
It. Right.
But you know what, Karen? There's something worse than on 9/11, we said to ourselves, wait a minute, what's worse than one person dying or a whole plane full of people dying? It's using a plane or another weapon of mass destruction where you're killing thousands of people in one shot.
Right.
And that's right. What the terrorists did on 9/11. It became a weapon of mass destruction with those aircraft. And so we had to design the ability to protect our country against weapons of mass destruction, even while we're trying to protect individuals and stuff. So that was kind of something that we had to think about a little differently. And so we have spent a great deal of time working on everything from protecting against chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and explosive.
So let me ask you, Denny, can anybody, everyday citizens, take this training of yours? And if they can, how can they do that? Everybody's doing stuff on Zoom these days. Can you do this training that way?
Some of it can be done on the internet. The intellectual side can be, obviously, when it comes to physical skills, then you have to develop those physical skills on a face-to-face training. But this takes time, Karen. And so, and yes, we can. We do train citizens, and that was designed to do that, just like we train law enforcement and military, but we train them to a different extent and a little different function because we realized not everybody was called to stand in the gap. You know, not everybody that has a law enforcement or military background that would be willing to go in and stand in front of Antifa and Black Lives Matters and say, listen, you're not tearing the statue down today. Most people aren't going to do that. 98% of the people don't want
to
do that.
So for those people who aren't going to do that and who want to get as well-trained as they can be, and the fact that we are, you know, in danger right now for those who have been asleep at the wheel, what can people like that do? Maybe they can't take your training. Maybe they're not very physically inclined. Maybe they have guns in the house, which, of course, the left has tried to take away with the red flag bill and so much more. But what do they do in that case? What's like, we have like a minute. We have only a minute, unfortunately. But
okay, so
what can you tell them?
They can go to our website at holdfastamerica.org. And they can go to the Act Now page and sign up, and they can ask questions, and we can talk to them about how, when, and where we can train them. Because again, not everybody is going to 15% of the population. They're not going to fight. They don't want a physical fight. They're not capable. They don't want to.
But they want to be prepared. And you're a resource. Forgive me. We have to wrap it up. What is that website? One more time.
Holdfastamerica.org.
Denny Dillard, thank you so much for joining us. You're a valuable resource. Thank you for your service to our country and for your clear-headedness. We appreciate it, and I'd love for you to be my sheepdog anytime. Luckily,
I have
one that I live with, but thank God that you're out there teaching others. So thank you, Denny.
I appreciate it.
That's about all the time we have here on Spouting Off. And thank you to Ellen Graham and to Denny Dillard and to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. Thanks to my sheepdog who's coming home from a business trip in a little while, HW, the multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when, there will be so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.